You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to this evening's action in Nace. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line is William Hill Radio's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, bud.
Are you well, sir?
I am, yes. Yes, looking forward to this week. Punchestown on the horizon in Beckenning. We'll be flying out there tomorrow, so fortunately, sick of hearing my voice by the end of the week, so I think I'm podcast duty every day.
It is a pretty big week, though, Andy. I mean, we talk about it every year. On the back of Cheltenham, we go, oh, they might turn up at Punchestown, and a lot of the big stars are going to be there as well.
Looks that way, doesn't it? Unfortunately, Doncaster can't dish a crack Wambi, but that doesn't dilute it too much. You know, we've still got several of the big Cheltenham, Willie Mullins, big guns running, Duvan, Annie Power, obviously Vroom Vroom Magnus rerouted, and Q Card is going to go over there, and plus all the, you know, the handicaps and the you know, the sort of bigger field races, we should have an absolute ball there this week.
Yeah, well, Vitor's going to run over 2 miles over fences for the first time, isn't it? Willie Mullins has decided he's going to go for the Champion Chase rather than the Gold Cup.
Yeah, no, it's just full of intrigue all week, really. Yeah. And, yeah, Willie's been champion trainer there for the last sort of 10 years, really, as far as I can remember, and yeah, that looks very much as though he's going to be dominating again, and it's just a real good combination to the end of the year. We've sort of had the, you know, all the prize giving ceremonies out the other day at Sandown, but you know, there's still some serious business to be you know, played out at Punchestown, and it's great to be part of it, and hopefully we get a decent week's weather, because it can be a little bit iffy there.
Yeah, it can, yeah. That obviously starts Tuesday, runs all the way through till Saturday. We'll be speaking to Andy every day throughout the Punchestown Festival. We've got a pretty good card to look forward to in this as well tonight, Andy, just to wet the whistle for the week in Ireland.
We have, yeah. I think Wizard and a couple of colleagues are going over there. They're already sampling the Guinness before the start of the week. But yeah, hopefully we should get punters off to a fairly productive start to the week. I really do fancy quite a few there tonight. A lot of all my favourites and podcasters' favourites all running there tonight. The two big sprint races have brought together, you know, some real sort of household names, ones that we're on first turns with. So yeah, should be able to, like I said, boost the coffers.
Good, good. Let's get stuck into it then. The first race is the 4:35 this evening. We start with an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Maiden. It's over 6 furlongs. It's a +10 race as well. And the market headed by the Jim Bolger newcomer, Bianfiesa, who's 8-11, supported from 10-11 as well. It's 3-1 for Edgar Allan Poe, the Aidan O'Brien newcomer, 11-2 for Psychedelic Funk, 10-1 for All Crazy Now. Thomas O'Malley is 10s as well, and 33-1 are bigger prices for the others. So some big stables represented here, Andy. Some interesting newcomers. What do you make of the 4:35?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an interesting watching race, isn't it? For most punters that don't have an in on this race, you know, you're not looking to be smashing into a 6 furlong maiden at night, particularly when we've got an odds on poke in there in the shape of Bianfiesa, who obviously has been well backed and seemingly all the rage, been back to the exclusivity of everything else in the field. So she's obviously got to be very smart. Certainly breeding wise, that tends to back up that particular view. She's a half sister to Teofilio. Of course, was unbeaten as a juvenile, and that horse started off its career here as well. So, you know, everything about the way that Jim Bolger's set her up here for tonight, you know, it looks as though that the market should be proven correct. Interesting that Joe Lines, who took this race last year with Argentiero, has got a newcomer by Schwazier, obviously bred to be very speedy, called Psychedelic Funk. And Joe's 2-year-olds have made a fairly decent start to the season as well. That one could be of a certain amount of interest. And, of course, the main man, actually, in the 2-year-old department, I didn't think I'd be ever saying this, is Aidan O'Brien. He's got Edgar Allan Poe, named after that American sort of writer, editor and literary critic. So, yeah, if names are anything to go by, then obviously all the best ones seem to be of an American persuasion, let's say. He could have done with a slightly better draw in Trap 10. That's any slight concern with him. But interesting and intriguing race. Obviously, the money's screaming at you that being Fiasa is the one to be with. But just keeping on that psychedelic funk from the informed stable of Geraldines, I think that could probably be each way call away from the Fav.
For you to consider there then in what should be a pretty informative opener. We've got the 5 tenners race number 2. This one is an apprentice handicap over 6 furlongs. A big field here as well. We've got 20 of them to go to post, and Louis Leroy is the 9-2 market leader. 6-1 for Ask Dad, 8-1 for Sweet Is Taboo. That one's a reserve though at the moment. Barbecue is 10s. It's 10-1 for Dunad Prince, supported from 14-1. 10s also for Gembat and Shiny Happy John. 12-1 for Archibald Thorborn, and 14s or bigger for the others. Quite a a tricky contest, this, Andy. Plenty of runners in there. Which ones do you like in the second race?
Yeah, tricky is very much the byword here. A lot depends as well with a maximum field of 20 where the runners decide to go here, particularly in an apprentice handicap. Usually when the ground's on the easy side here at Nace, particularly, as I said, with big fields, the ones that migrate towards the Sandside Royal tend to have a bit of an advantage. But it's early stages in the season, just as it was the other day at Navan. It's very difficult to predict what's going to happen. Therefore, I'd probably want to go something smack bang in the middle. And the horse I'm going to go for in question is Dunard Prince, the winner of this race last year. Of course, he was ridden by Tom Madden on that occasion. And Tom teams up with this horse again, having ridden him the other day in an eye-catching run at Dundalk. That run was obviously very much a target to blow away the cobwebs. He hadn't run since October. And he was using that arguably as a stepping stone for this race. Of course, he's got some fantastic form here as well in the past. That wasn't a complete bolt out of the blue. All his best forms here at this venue. He's won here 3 times. And he likes to race prominently as well. I often find in these apprentice races that you usually get the horses that are up with the top of the front end of the speed tend to stay there as well. And this is very much a front runner's trap, by the way, Nace. I want to get onto that on the round track races later on, but you don't want to be too far back. So it wouldn't surprise me if this Dunard Prince was to repeat the dose of last year and is available back at 10-1.
Each way call them for Andy. The 5.10, the 5.40 is race number 3 on the card. This one is a handicap over 6 furlongs. We've got 12 of them here, and Master Speaker heads the market at 100-30. Just been shortened up from 4-1 this morning as well. 7-2 for Mr. Wright. 6-1 for Bluesbreaker. Great Wide Open is 13-2. It's 8 for Interlutum. St. Brillard's Bay is 9-1 and 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. You mentioned at the top of this piece, Andy, you're looking forward to the sprints. Who do you most look forward to seeing here?
Well, based on my speed figures, there's only 3 horses that can win this. They are Mr. Wright, Master Speaker and Interlutum. That was the best speed figure race I've got so far this season in Ireland. That race in question was on the 3rd of April at the Curragh, and it went the way of John Elevens's 4-year-old Mr. Wright, who has really just burst onto the scene in recent times. Mostly of his best performances prior to that win the other day on turf had come on the all-weather track at Dundalk. So arguably that was a little bit of a surprise. Moreover, it was on heavy ground, and he did it from stall 2 as well, which is almost an impossibility at the Curragh. So I upgraded that performance, and the way he glided through that race suggests he's right on top of his game at the moment. He's up £7, but it doesn't really tell his whole superiority of that race. I thought he was really, really impressive, and this better ground tonight, providing they don't get too much rain at Nace, will very much suit him. Drawn in stall 5, that gives Ronan Whelan a good opportunity to track the pace either side. And he may just well confirm form with Master Speaker. Now, I know there's been good money for Martin Hassett's charge, and I can see why, because not only was that a good run the other day at the Curragh when he was obviously stopped in his run and everyone saw how eye-catching he was, he also ran another commendable race at Dundalk the other day. As predicted, he didn't win, but he did catch the eye again by finishing strongly in a very, very fast run, 5-furlong race won by Ard Humi. He just basically is a 6-furlong stiff-track horse, and he's got that tonight. But the only problem is, you know, 1 win in 25 on the turf. I'm not saying he can't win, but his winter run ratio is so poor. I don't think 3-1 is great value, and he's drawn stall 2 as well, and he might just get stuck down on the inside rail. So I think he's bad value. So I think Mr. Wright will confirm the form. And the other one to mention here is the old favourite, the old podcasters here. Good old Insolutum ships up here again in a bid to atone for last year's unlucky defeat in this race when he was second, and unlucky one at that. He did hardly anything wrong in every single race he shipped up in last year in these kind of events. And he ran eye-catchingly behind Mr. Wright at the Curragh. I actually upgraded his performance even though he finished down the field in 7th. He got no sort of run. He didn't get a chance to get up ahead of steam. But he's got much better ground to run on tonight. He likes a strongly run race in a big field where he can weave his way through. And he's around about 8-1 this morning. I think that's a fantastic each-way bet. So Mr. Wright and Insolutum, are my two to concentrate on in the 5:40.
Couple against the field there. Then in the 5:40, the 6:10 is race number 4 on the card. This one is an Irish Stallion Farms EBF Filly's Maiden. It's over 5 furlongs, and Blue Bahia is the 11-4 favourite this morning. 4-1 for Ribbons and Roses. Roly Poly is 9-2. 8-1 for Howe. Velveteen is 9s, 10s for Gone to Russia, and 12-1 or bigger for the others. In fact, Grecian Divine, one of the few runners here with experience, is 16s into 12s this morning. Which way do you play this, Andy? Do you go with something that's got proven form or racecourse experience, like Blue Bahia or Grecian Divine, or do you side with the potential of one of the newcomers?
Yeah, that's always the problem, isn't it, with these two-year-old races. You just don't know what you're up against if you fancy Blue Bahia. I mean, she's sure to run a race, and around about the 3-1 mark, I suppose that's not a bad bet. I mean, it's just not a race I'll get any interest in from playing. It's just a complete video race. Asked to put up a selection, then I'd probably have to go with Blue Bayer, who ran respectably behind one of Aidan O'Brien's first time out in what looked a decent race at Navan. But the problem is that, you know, Aidan O'Brien, who won that race with a 20-1 poke, has got several in this race that obviously could be as good, if not better. He's got Howe and Brave Anna and Roly Poly as well, to mention three. You've also got Jim Baldy's Ribbons and Roses, who has been nibbled at as well this morning. Of course, confidence will be boosted if their filly in the first race wins. He's obviously got a line. So the selection is Blue Bahia, but it's very much a race for the future.
On to the fifth race then, the 6:40. This one is the Woodland Stakes. It's a listed race over 5 furlongs. The market this morning is headed by Fort Delora, who returns to the racecourse after a 197-day absence. She's 2-1, supported from 5-1 this morning. 4-1 for Marek. Movie Star is 5-1. 11-2 for the Happy Prince. 13-2 for Monsieur Joe. 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. Some real popular sprinters in here, Andy, and I remember from last year you were a big fan of Fort Delora. So what do you make of the 6:40?
Yeah, I think I'm the sort of like the founder member of the Fort Delora fan club. Straight from her debut run at the Curra last year in a maiden, I urged podcasters and anyone else who'd listen to me really that this filly is going to be a top class sprinter in the making, without shadow of a doubt. And although she only won a couple of races subsequently, you know, kind of my theories and my beliefs were backed up by her overall performances. She went from that maiden win at the Curra to Group 3 company, and that basically told you that Fort Edward Lyon was thinking very much along those lines. And albeit she didn't win that day, she ran very well against the likes of Matt Moe and Toscanini. She was all the rage at York, but the fast ground and an in-form on-song Lucky Cristal were just too hot for her that day. But with a bit of cutting the ground back to her favourite track, the Curra, she won very, very easily in a listed race towards the back end of the season. So job done, really, for Edward Lyon. He's got the black tie. Now he can concentrate and really step her up through the ranks this season. He starts her off over 5 here tonight. Now, that would probably be normally a concern, because I think her best form and her overall profile suggests she is going to be a 6-furlong horse. But she's obviously must be doing quite good things at home for Edward to drop her back to 5. And she's got such a high cruising speed and a decent turn of foot that I actually think this might be OK for her here tonight. It's certainly a great starting point for her here. Perfect track, perfect going. And it should really suit her down to the ground. I'm so excited to see this filly running here tonight. She's kind of like the apple of my eye as well. And I really do believe that she can get to the likes of where Soul Power and Slay Power were in their 4 and 5 yard careers. I think she's that good. So hopefully tonight she'll justify my confidence and my belief in her that she's going to be one of the best sprinters by the end of the season. And hopefully tonight she can start in the best possible fashion.
Fort Delora to make a winning reappearance then in that race. The sixth race is the 7:10, and this one is a handicap over a mile. We've got 15 of them. Canary Row is the 4-1 favourite, supported from 5-1 this morning. 5s for Aussie Valentine. Leaning Keen is 10s. Marshall Jennings, another one at 10-1, as is Hurricane Cass and Ardmore as well. 12-1 for High Emperor and Texas Rock, and 14s or bigger for the others. What are your thoughts in race number 6?
Yeah, well, the last three races here at Nice are all on the round track. Now, I will give you what punters one bit of advice. It might be the only sensible thing that I say here on the podcast today, but front runners and horses that race prominently at Nice on the round track have a massive advantage. Make a note of that. Put it on your top of your notepad in your office and stick it on the wall in fluorescent pen, because it happens time and time again, year in, year out. You can't come off the pace here at Nice, particularly when the ground's just on the easy side of good. So I'm looking at horses that race up with the speed here, and the one that jumps off the page is Canary Row. Finally, this horse managed to lay the ghost of several unlucky performances in big field handicaps while winning on his seasonal reappearance at Limerick the other day. Connections are obviously trying to strike while the iron is hot, and I can see why, because he was very impressive in fending off a horse that I backed on that day called Expresso Brasileiro, and that horse had come out of that very hot race at Mr. Wright Master Speaker and In Salute Him ran in the time before at the Curragh. So the form looks absolutely rock solid. The time figure was off the scale. And the way this horse went through the race suggested he's right on top of his game at the moment. He's got a lovely low draw. As I said, he likes the race prominently. He's fit and well. What's not to like about his chance? He's certain to run his race, and you can back him at 4-1 this morning. So Canary Row, the obvious each-way pick in the 7-10.
Canary Row then fronting the 7-10. On to the 7-40 next, and this one is a another handicap over a mile. The market is headed by Jalika, who is 9-2. 11-2 for Norway Jack. Credit the Giver is 6-1. 10-8 for Armani Kiniko. 10-1 for Puncious Pius. 14s for Fast On and 16s are bigger for the rest. Same kind of principle here, Andy, with it being on the round track over a mile?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Horses that race up with the speed, you don't want to be too far out the back. It'll sound like a broken record, but I wouldn't want to be backing Army Nicky Nico at a very short price here. Well, shortish price. Drawn stall 17. That'll make my life difficult. And quite a few of the fancied horses are drawn in the car park. So I'm going to go for a bit of a flyer here. Now, this is a horse who's available back at 33-1 this morning. A horse in question is called Mr. Morocco, who hasn't done a massive amount, just looking at some of his bare figures. But I actually thought this horse ran a really eye-catching race the other day, and a hot maiden won by the Moore Factor down at Garen Park. Now, the time figure of that race was the fastest furlong per furlong one I got on the card, and albeit this horse got beat a fair way back in fifth, I thought he showed a good bit of promise, considering he was 100-1 shot, and that was his first run of the campaign. Now, do keep a horse, an iron horse called Ardmore, who runs earlier on in the card. I do think Jim Bolger's horse will run quite well in that Canary Row race, and he finished fourth in that race. So if he runs well off a mark of 78, I think he's off, then this horse tonight, Mr. Morocco, off a mark of 56, and it's much weaker race. Drawn in stall one, if he gets a good break round the inside, he could be very, very dangerous here off a lightweight. So I think bookmakers have totally missed this one completely, and here's a chance for William Hill podcasters to have a go at something at a much bigger price that will give you hopefully a decent run for your money. So Mr. Morocco at 33-1 is definitely worth a punt in the penultimate race.
All right, could be a nice result in the 7:40. Then the 8:10 is the final race on the card. This one is a median auction maiden over a mile. The market headed by Footbridge, who's even money into 8-11 at the time of recording this. 5-2 for Freeman. Savannah is 8-1. It's 9s for Elusive Heights. 12-1 for Ad Modem, and 16s are bigger for the rest of them. What do you make of the lucky last, Andy?
Yeah, there are signs in the last week or two that Dermot Wells beginning to dominate in these maidens over in Ireland, just like he did 12 months ago, and all the vibes are that Footbridge is going to give him another winner here. Been back from odds against to odds on. Everyone wants to be with this colt by Zaminda, who ran an encouraging debut towards the back end of last season behind a lovely horse called Queen's Blossom, who went on to win first time out at the Curragh this year in a group race. So this horse is obviously a pattern race performer in the making already. Well drawn, obviously with a good break, you'd imagine he's going to be very, very difficult to beat. The obvious threat looks as though it's going to be Freeman, who comes out of that very hot maiden at Leopardstown the other day. I know Claudio Monteverdi got beat subsequently at Epsom, but I didn't think he handled the track straight, the ground, or the rise up in company when he came over to these shores. But generally speaking, the form's good. The third horse, Gurkha, he's gone on to win the other day at Navan, and I thought this horse shaped with a decent amount of promise. So you are left with a couple of choices here. If you want to be bold and brave, then obviously you go in with a big odds-on shot. But if you're like me, you're a bit of an each-way thief, you'll try and get as much each-way money cash rolling on Freeman.
Siding with Freeman in the lucky last. As usual, Andy, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you'll spin us through your selections for this one more time.
Yeah, decent card here tonight, Nace. Really looking forward to the action prior to the Punchestown Festival. I think, judged by the market, this Bean Fiesta is going to be very difficult to beat in the first. Dunai Prince, a double-figure odds, is fancied to take home this prize for the second year in succession. One of the big betting races for me throughout the course of the day is the 5:40 at Nace. I've been backing In Salute Him and Mr. Wright to good money all morning, and hopefully one of those will win. In the 6:10, very, very much a put your feet up and have a cup of tea race, but if the draw favours the stand side, then Blue Bahia with the experience drawn 13-13 could have a big advantage there. Then we get on to the big stuff, the 6:40, the listed race, where my horse to follow for the season, Fort Deloro, makes a eagerly awaited seasonal appearance, and hopefully it'll be a winning one. Canary Row is taken to follow up Limerick's smooth success under a £5 penalty in the Mar handicap. 7:40, one at a very, very big price, which I think will outrun its odds quite quite comfortably. He's Mr. Morocco. Drawn in stall one with a good run and a good maiden the other day off a very handy handicap mark, and hopefully will race prominently. And in the final race, this looks to be a match between the two Fs, Footbridge and Freeman. And being a value merchant, of course, I'm going to go with the second favourite each way.
Superb. Good work, Andy. Thank you very much. Good luck. And join us this evening, and we'll look forward to speaking to you throughout the week at the Punchestown Festival.
Yeah, can't wait. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.